Like learning Michtam Eliyahu, Volume 1. We're on the chapter which is called Tzadik Beralo, the suffering of the righteous. The righteous person who suffers, on page 22 in the Hebrew. Up to now we spoke about the classic question, why is it that we have righteous people who suffer? And the central answer is the idea that this world is a corridor for the world to come. This world really has no importance in and of itself. There are people who say this world is also a world, but that's not correct. This world is not a world. It doesn't have any significant importance just by itself. Just like a corridor that doesn't lead to a banquet hall is nothing. A corridor that doesn't lead to a banquet hall is nothing. So similarly, if this world doesn't lead to the world to come, then this world is nothing. It has no significance at all. And with that, we can understand why it is that people have difficulties in their lives. And we gave the analogy of a teacher with a student. So the purpose of the teacher is that the teacher himself, the teacher trains his student. It's not for the teacher's benefit. And it's not for the teacher's benefit. It's for the student's benefit. The same thing when we do mitzvahs. So we don't benefit Hashem. He doesn't need our mitzvahs. And when we do averus, when we sin, we also don't hurt him in any way. It doesn't hurt him. So the teacher wants to educate the student, and that's why he sometimes punishes him. That's why he directs him, instructs him, and then sometimes he punishes him. But the objective all along is to bring him to do tshuva, to bring him to do good deeds. The student, on behalf of the student, however, the student has to absorb the lesson. It's not enough just to receive the lesson from the teacher. The student has to absorb the lesson and live by the lesson. He has to internalize the lesson. It's very much up to the student how successful he is. The teacher can give him all the material. The student makes it work. We then ask the question, how come we see wicked people if it's all about teaching us to improve our ways? So a wicked person for sure needs to improve his ways. He's very far from Hashem. And yet we see wicked people who don't receive any suffering at all. They get it very easy. So we explain that the analogy is to the student who has been rebuked in the past and never helped. The teacher's punished him. The teacher gave him detention. Whatever it was, whatever punishment it was, none of the punishment helped. And therefore, all that's left is to expel the student. However, before they expel him, they give him another chance, and they just let him be. Maybe by himself, we know the punishment's not going to help anymore. We tried that, it didn't help. But maybe by himself, there'll be some sort of wake-up call. So we give him a time period in which to try and prove himself. If that time period passes and he doesn't improve himself, then we expel him. So that's why that's the wicked have it good in this world, where it's not going to help to punish them, but maybe from amongst those wicked people, there'll be some goodness will come out of it, and they're given a chance until the final straw breaks, and then they lose their life in this world, the life in the world to come. Okay, that's one answer. That's one question answered. And the final question, which is basically our main topic, is yes, but we see there are people who are good people. We explain that suffering is ordered to educate the student, right? The teacher punishes the student to educate him. But we see people who are totally good people who suffer all the time, who are born suffering. Maybe they're born sickly, or they're born with disadvantages, with handicaps. And that's from the start. How can it be such a thing? That's not educational. That's just from the start. They already start off with that disadvantage. So how do we explain... How do you explain tzaddikim, righteous people who are not sinning, who are suffering from the right, who suffer without sin, without the suffering being on account of sin? And on that we explain the principle that's built on the idea that all people are different. Every single one of us is totally different from anyone else. We're different in terms of our personalities. We're different in terms of our emotional composition. Right, the different traits a person has. Some people have a tendency towards haughtiness, arrogance. Some people have a tendency towards anger. Some people are very lustful. Different, right? And good traits as well. Some people are naturally very kind, very naturally very com- very naturally very compassionate. Other people are naturally stingy. It's hard for them to give. Or we have quiet people. We have outgoing people. In terms of intellect also, we have different types of intellect. Some people are very sharp. Some people are very slow. Some people have tremendous memories. In terms of intellect itself, there are many, many different aspects to intellect, which makes us totally different. And in terms of environment also, depends on who our friends are, who our family is. That makes a huge difference. Each person in the world, every single person, totally unique, totally different to everyone else. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we all come from Hashem. We're all different. And what we have to add, which is especially amazing, that we're all working towards the same goal. It's all the same goal about improving ourselves, getting close to Hashem, and getting to the world to come. Getting through the corridor with all the tests, with all the obstacles, with all the difficulties that stand in our way. We have to get through all those obstacles to get to the world to come. So we all have the same goal, same task. How come we're all different? What's the purpose of the difference? And the answer that we started giving, we didn't finish this, the answer that we started giving is that each person's achievement should be totally his own achievement. It should be totally his own work. Because he is working on himself. We are our own projects. Now, each person is his own project. You have to work on yourself. That's what you produce. You produce yourself, who you are. That's the who you are at the end of 120 years is your product. That's your ultimate product. What sort of person did you make of yourself? And it's totally unique. It's totally separate. It's something that's very, very special, and no one else can do it. No one else can work on ourselves except ourselves. So this is really the ultimate gift, that Hashem gives us this opportunity to work towards the world to come. We don't just receive it as a gift. We have to work for it. If we work for it, we appreciate it. And also, as part of this ability to appreciate it, is the fact that it's totally unique, and it's totally ours. Whatever you do with yourself is totally ours. So let's pick up here on the last paragraph on page 22. Besides the fact that we are unique, we can see that there's an amazing kindness way, way above all this. There's another kindness built into the whole system. The whole system is all about kindness. It's all Hashem's kindness. Our whole lives is all kindness, all chesed Hashem. There's another kindness built into this. Let's think about it. The main mitzvah of a person is Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is that through your actions, you sanctify Hashem in this world. In other words, you publicize Hashem. You bring Hashem into this world. You do a beautiful act, so you bring Hashem into the world. Right? A person does an act of kindness, an act of charity, he helps his neighbor. So anyone who sees that is impressed, it's beautiful. And therefore, that brings the divine presence into this world, which is what we're working towards in terms of the project itself is to bring Hashem into the world. And we do that with beautiful acts, with beautiful thoughts, beautiful words. Right? So therefore, that's called Kiddush Hashem. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is the essential mitzvah. It's the ultimate mitzvah. I once heard from Rav Tauba that if in a business... In a business, what's considered a successful business, that after all is said and done, that the business brings a profit. What's after, right, is the dollars, right? The end of the business is this business successful or not? The answer is, are there dollars? Is this business producing dollars? So the same thing in terms of the religious business, our business, is are we producing Kiddush Hashem? That's our net profit. After all is said and done, after all the mitzvahs, and after all the Torah, etc., how much Kiddush Hashem, how much are we drawing the divine presence into this world? In our mitzvah, ikori si Kiddush Hashem, ki hi koileles hakol. This is the mitzvah that includes all other mitzvahs. This is the goal of all mitzvahs, right? In terms of this world, to draw the divine presence into this world. And that's in the universal sense, and it's for each individual. We draw Hashem into this world. We draw Hashem into ourselves, right? That Hashem's light shines within ourselves. A person feels the light of Hashem. He feels he's inspired. He's awake. He's inspired. He's happy. He's joyous. He has the light of Hashem shining through him. So that, obviously, that's a Kiddush Hashem. That's on a very personal level. And it shines out, right? When we shine within, so it shines out. So This is the mitzvah of mitzvahs. Kol ha-mitzvahs kol inyone avoidus Hashem teichnim teichnam hu kiddush Hashem. All of the mitzvahs, all of the matters of serving Hashem, so the inner idea behind them all is kiddush Hashem. B'mei she'anu misgabrim al yitzreinu. And in terms of that, we overcome our inclinations, right? Because for every good deed we have, we have an inclination to do the negative side of it. Right? You're doing a good deed, but you say, well, a bit less, so I'll take it easy now. There's always a challenge. There's always the other side. There's always the yetzer hara. So the animal instinct, the animal inclination, just to take it easy, just to give into our nature, the yetzer hara. So therefore, each time we overcome our own yetzer, in order to do the will of Hashem, right, we forego our own animal desire to do Hashem's desire, and that is kiddush Hashem. That creates kiddush Hashem, that we follow Hashem and not following our own animal instinct. And this is an explicit pasuk that says kol hanikra b'shvi mishmi, all that is called by my name, which means all that I have created. Hashem says of this world, all that I have created, which is everything. Lichvoidi berosi v'yitzati v'afasisi. I did it for my honor. Now, what does that mean? Whatever I created for my honor. Now, what does it mean? My Hashem is an egomaniac. No, it means I created for you to expose my honor through this aspect of the world. So therefore, if you use the elements of the world around you to draw, you make the right choices and you do the right thing, so then you draw the divine presence into the world. So it was you brought his honor into this world. That's what it's for. It's for using in the right way and then drawing the honor of Hashem into the world, the kovod Hashem. And a kavona ki Hashem yisbarach tzorich lekovod hazeh. The intention is not that Hashem needs this honor. He doesn't need us to honor him because he doesn't need anything from us. It's for our benefit. If we draw if we honor him, so to speak, if we do his will and we bring his light into this world, so the whole world lights up. Right? You can have a beautiful house, but there's no light, electricity. So it's useless. You know, you can't see anything. You're tripping over the furniture and you're falling down, etc. You can't find the kitchen. You can't find the food. You can't find the... Right? Can't find anything. So what's the use of having such a beautiful house? It's all in the dark. But if you turn on the lights off, then you can appreciate it, right? So the same thing, we turn on the lights with our good deeds. This world lights up. That's for our benefit. If we can light up the world, we bring in the presence of Hashem into this world, so the world lights up. That's our benefit. And that's the honor of Hashem. Right? If you have a banquet hall, so one of the main features is the lights, the chandeliers, right? It's all very well lit up. It's hundreds of lights, thousands of lights. That's part of the beauty, is that it's full of light. We should merit this great merit of honoring Hashem and sanctifying Him, of elevating Him, to put Him above all other deeds. We place Him above. We elevate him. Amnam, however. So that's our task. That's each person's task, is with your own personal challenges in your own life, your own difficulties, overcoming your own difficulties. So then you honor Hashem. Each time you overcome a difficulty, each time you stand up to a challenge, you draw the glory of Hashem into this world. That's what we're all doing. Amnam, im chabrus anoshim bo lechabed melech bosavadam. If we could imagine a group of people coming to give honor to a king of flesh and blood, and everyone gave the same speech. Imagine a foreign king comes to town, right? And we want to show him honor. So a delegation of mayors and governors and senators, etc., all come to give honor to this king, and he's sitting there, right, at the banquet hall, and each speaker gets up, and each one says the exact same speech. Can you imagine? One after the other, they'll say the exact same words, right? We want to honor you. They give him the same gift. He gets, 10,000 watches, right? Golden watches. They're all identical. And he gets the same speech.
He must have had the same speech, right?
So imagine if each one would say the same speech. Ech yagish be'atzmo hanoyem asheni. How would the second speaker feel when he has to repeat the first speaker spoke and everyone was impressed, wow, beautiful speech, and the second one stands up to speak and he has the exact same speech to say, how would he feel? L'kol shekei na'achon, all the more so than the last speaker. Right? Everyone would be totally, you heard it twice, you heard it five times, you heard it 15 times. But you hear it thousands of times. Imagine the last speaker, how much anguish he would feel. You know, he's did a beautiful job, he's giving a beautiful gift to the king, and he prepared a beautiful speech, but it's the exact same speech as everyone else. So therefore, that would be just a source of embarrassment. L'kol shekei na'achon b'yodeh shelo hoisif klum al kol ha'koidmim. Because he knows he's not adding anything to anyone else. He's not adding to, you see, right? If you're giving something different, then you're adding, right? This person gave me one gift, this person gave me another gift. This guy's gift I put on that wall, this guy's gift I put on another wall. It's mashlim, it's complete, there's a certain completion. But if the second one's giving the same thing that the first one, you know, what do you do with 100 microwaves, you know? So one of them you use and the others, put them in the storeroom, right? You wait, you keep them for wedding gifts. So therefore, if you're not adding anything, what are you doing? Al kain, therefore, hoisif Hashem yisborach b'chasdoi livro kol adam b'choichus his mazgius achirim. And therefore, Hashem added to the kindness of the construction of this world, which is total kindness, to create each person with different strengths and a different personality mix, intellectual, personal, physical mix, totally unique. The gamma yetzahara shaloi, and also his own inclination, his own evil inclination, umilchamto, and his war, his personal battles, his personal challenges are totally unique, are totally different. Umimelegam kiddush Hashem shaloi shon, and therefore the kiddush Hashem he produces by doing the right things with his right, using his world in the right way. He's a totally different Kiddush Hashem. He's honoring Hashem in a totally different way. It's a totally unique gift. So that's tremendous honor for the king. But also, can you imagine, each one has a unique gift to give the king. He feels very proud. He's bringing his gift to the king. It's something totally special, something totally different. And that's why each person then has a special share in the world to come, which is literally his. It's his. He built it. He built it. It's his share in the world to come, totally his. No one else has ever done anything like this before. It's totally original. No one's done it before. And therefore each person has a tremendous pleasure and satisfaction and happiness and fulfillment as his reward, that he's contributed this wonderful aspect, this wonderful feature to the world to come, which is totally his. And therefore each person's environment fits his. Right, you have your own personality, so you have your own environment, so you have your own challenges, you have your own setting. Which is according to his Kiddush Hashem, which is for him to be Makadish. In other words, for his achievement, which he has to achieve. There's one person who has to stand up to the test of wealth. Wealth itself is a challenge, it's a test. Because it can drag you down so easily. You have wealthy people who totally destroy their lives. They've got, you know, it's a total mess. They make a total mess of their lives. Right? You have youngsters who inherit great wealth, and at 19, 20, their lives are over. Right? They end up killing themselves within their sports car. You know, they're in just terrible accidents or whatever. So therefore, there's a person whose test is the test of wealth. And the pleasures of the world, this world, he has it all. Everything is good for him. So lois gashem bom, it shouldn't turn him into a material being. It shouldn't make him a material being. Actually, yishkach is yitzre legamer to such a degree that he forgets his creator completely. People who have it so good, they're so full of themselves. Everything goes their way to such a degree that, you know, who's Hashem? You know, who needs Hashem? Where does he fit in? You know, I don't have time for him. I can't even put him in my schedule. I've got so many things to do. So umikol shekein, right? All the more. So this is a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ki esbo ukechashti, I will be sated, and then I will deny." Kichashti means, and then I will say, you know, there's no God. Kichashti means, I'll say, and there's no God. I don't need him. Everything's fine. And he doesn't even exist. So that is what comes from satiety. V'amati mi Hashem. There's a pasuk in the Torah, right? He's satisfied and he denies Hashem. And he says, who is Hashem? V'yesh. And then there's another person. Hashem alav lizbo l'sanisoyin ha'oini. You have another person who has to suffer the tests, the challenges of poverty. Right? It's a different type of challenge, different type of test. Tzoris rabu is many, many difficulties, many troubles in his life. And even so, he never complains, he never criticizes Hashem, he never hurls criticisms and condemnations, doesn't condemn Hashem in any way. So that's his test, even though it's so difficult for him. Everyone else has it easy, and he's got it so hard. So that's reason to give a complaint. So that's his test, that he's not going to complain. He's going to live his life with a smile on his face. He's going to do his best with his abilities, and he's going to produce his Kiddush Hashem. So that's it. That's just an example of wealth and poverty. There are other types. It's complex, right? It's our the mix. It's not just wealth and, right? There's different skills and different abilities, etc. Each person has his own mix. So that's what makes it special. And therefore we understand that some people can be born sickly, and that's their challenge. And sometimes these people do the best of them all. You know, they live their lives with a smile on their face. They're suffering terribly, but you see what positive people they are. You see how much they contribute, how much they shine, no matter their difficulties. Now, we're in this world, we can't know. We can't know how well we're doing. We can't see it. We don't see the results. The result, you don't get your results now. You get the results at the end. Right? So we don't know. We don't know how well other people are doing. You see some people, doesn't seem to be doing too well. It could be he's doing wonderfully. You see someone else who seems to be doing well, but he's very talented. He's not even using half of his talents. He's only using 2% of his talents. So he's not doing so wonderfully. It looks good. It looks great, but he's really not doing what he should be doing. We can't know these things. And also we can't know what's the best situation to be in. We don't know what the best situation is for ourselves. What would be better? Would we to have more money, to have less money, more health, less health? What? How would I do? You know, if all these things I would like were given to me, would my life then be better? Would I then do more? We don't know these things. We can't know these things. It could be. And this is what he suggests. This is the end of the essay. It could be ki'ilu shalul neshama terem shi'alda lekam. And this is quite a scary thought. And this is our final thought here. If they were to ask the soul before it came down to this world, be'eze chelek tivcha, which type of life would you like? If let's say Hashem would ask the soul, maybe he does ask the soul, he would ask him, what type of life, what type of share of this world would you like? Im lavo is haprozda bedecha oyshev nachas. Would you prefer to go through the corridor with wealth and with luxury and in a pleasant way? Or b'derecha oini v'atza, or in the way of poverty and trouble? Mistabe me'oid, it's very logical, shehaisa boches b'derecha sebel. It's very logical that the soul would choose the way of suffering. The way of suffering actually, in a sense, is the easier way to succeed in. It's easier to succeed in the way of suffering than the way of plentifulness and prosperity. Someone whose heart is broken is much closer. Right? A broken heart, right? A person with a broken heart, really, when he davens to Hashem, he's really talking to Hashem. Right? But a broken heart, right? Someone who's just finished lunch and he's belching, right? And he's davening, so we understand where his thoughts are. Right? And in fact, the food makes fumes. You eat a big meal, so there's fumes that come from the food, and they go up to your mind, and they make you shikha. And it's not just wine that makes you drunk. Food makes you drunk, because you become dozy, you lose your, you can't even think properly. So therefore, it's logical that if the souls were to be asked, which path do they prefer to their own personal... It could be they'll choose the path of trouble. Someone whose heart is broken, it's easier for him to think about his real goal, not to lose sight of the goal. And therefore, we should have a proper appreciation of any suffering that we have, that it's really all for our benefit. Okay. The next essay is called Yesh Koine Ulama B'Sha'achas. There is one who acquires his world in a single moment. Well, sounds great. Right? In a single moment, you acquire entire eternity. In a single, a whole world to come, you acquire it in a single moment. Omru Chazal, our sages have taught, Lo'ilam Yasek Adam Mateo Umitzas, Afilu Shaloi Bishmo. A person should always involve himself in Torah mitzvahs, even not for the sake of Hashem. Right? We have the concept of lishmo. You're doing a mitzvah for the sake of Hashem. You're doing it because He wants you to do it. You're doing it because it's His will, it's His desire, it's the right thing to do, it's the good thing to do. And then there's a person who does Torah mitzvahs for the reward. He does it for himself because he'll get recognition, he'll get payment, he'll get money, he'll get other prizes. Right? So, self-interest. Right? It's mitzvahs, they're good deeds we do because of our self-interest. There's something in it for us. So, the rabbis have taught us that a person should be involved himself in Torah mitzvahs even if it's lo lishmo, even if it's for the wrong reasons. Why? Shemitok shelo lishmo bo lishmo. Right? In other words, you could ask, if it's for selfish reasons, so what's the point? He's just doing it for himself? It's just a type of self-indulgence, it's just for himself. No. Because we say that from doing it not for the right reasons, shelo lishmo, he'll come to do it lishmo. For doing mitzvahs, the mitzvahs themselves, or the Torah itself, just doing it itself, even with the wrong reasons, will bring a person to eventually do it for the right reasons. The Kosov Agoyen Rabbeinu Chaim Veloshin Zatzal B'Sifra Nifle Ruach Chaim. Chaim Veloshin writes in his wonderful book Ruach Chaim, which is an explanation on Pirkei Avos. Right, we have the book around. So he says there on the Mishnah in Avos, Limud Shelo Lishmo Hu Mafteach Godol Lavo Lidei Lishmo. He says learning. We speak about learning Torah, but it's really living a Torah lifestyle. It's not just learning Torah, it's living Torah. Living Torah, doing mitzvahs. So doing it lo lishmo is the great key to come to doing lishmo. Ki mi bi lo deze lo yorum ishes yodo neged hayetzer. Because if it wasn't for this, no person would raise his hand against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says to us, you should have it good. Everything should be good for you. Right? You should look out for yourself. Look out for number one. If you don't take care of yourself, who's gonna worry about you, right? If you don't get a good portion for yourself, so that's the Yetzer speaks to us about our own self interest. So therefore, if we didn't have the ability of doing mitzvahs for self interest, for selfish reasons, so no one would do mitzvahs. No one would do mitzvahs. It would be impossible. If we didn't have a selfish motivation in doing mitzvahs, no one would do mitzvahs. So therefore, that's why we should use a selfish motivation. We should use, that's the key to succeed in a life of mitzvahs. Because of Oid Sham Per Gimel Mishnah Aleph, also he writes there, Ki Eif Shah Lavo Lemadregas Lishmo Im Lo Yeh Tchila Shelo Lishmo. It's impossible to reach the level of serving Hashem for his own sake, for Hashem's sake, if a person doesn't first do it not for his sake, lo lishma, for selfish reasons. It's impossible to come to altruistic service of Hashem if we don't start off with selfish service of Hashem. We do it for ourselves. That's the only way to do it. We can only get to the higher type of service, which is lishma, through the lo lishma. And really, that's what it sounds like in the word lo'olam. Lo'olam means always. Again, the original teaching was always you should do mitzvahs selfishly, because through doing it selfishly, you'll come to do it selflessly. But what's the word? Always do it selfishly. Always act selfishly, because this is the way that you'll come to do it selflessly. Always. This is the key. We have to work with ourselves, and ourselves are It's ourselves are attracted to self-interest. Now, according to this, here comes a question. Many have asked the question, what has Hashem done to us? In our generation, which is so weak in terms of learning Torah and serving Hashem, Hashem has taken away the lo lishmo. He's taken away the selfish motivation. Ki mi lo yodo asher le'eis kazois lo yikne adam panosah chashuva or kovod rav al yedei isuka b'tira. Because who doesn't know that in these times a person cannot get a good, an important panosa, an important salary, and a lot of prestige through learning Torah. Okay. He's speaking in his times. It really applies to our times also slightly differently. His times were, this essay is from talks he gave in 1941, 1942, the height of the war. Europe was in shreds, in ruins. And therefore, those who want to dedicate their lives to Torah, so the whole honor of the Torah, if you go back, let's say 50 years earlier than that, so someone who was the Rav, he was the number one citizen of the town, and he was respected by everyone, and he got a nice salary to be the rabbi of the town. So therefore, a person was a Talmud Chochem, he was a Motz, he was one of the Poiskim in the town. So therefore, there was a lot of a prestige attached to being a Talmud Chochem, and there was a good panos. They used to support him. The towns gave him proper respect, and therefore they gave him proper support, and he could feed his family properly, he could dress his family properly. There was a lot of prestige, and therefore there was a big motivation for young students to reach success in their learning, and that they should receive these positions of prestige. Right. So that's how it used to be, but what the whole thing collapsed, right? To be a Rav is, you know, not for a nice Jewish boy, you know. The whole prestige of the thing has fallen, and there's no panos. So, you know, if you learn Torah, so, you know, what are you going to live for, right? Who's going to support you? Maybe there are a few jobs for rabbis, but it's not really a proper panos, and it's not enough. Whatever they give is not enough. So what is it that Hashem has taken away? The selfish motivation behind learning Torah. Now he's using as an example here, he's using Torah students who are going to study Torah. But it applies to all aspects of Torah lifestyle. Right? Where there's, you know, to be from is sneered on. Right? There's a lot of, it's like a joke, you know. There's animosity, for sure there's animosity, but there's also there's jeering, there's a sneering at so where is the selfish motivation in the service of Hashem, and why has Hashem taken it away from us? But if this is the key to the service of Hashem, selfless service of Hashem comes from selfish service of Hashem. Why has Hashem taken away the key from us? But we are a weaker generation. We have less strengths and less abilities, and he's taken away the key as well. What's he doing? Why is he ambushing us? It becomes impossible. The Yosem is then even more than this. Even if we say that there's a shadow of lo lishmo in some of the big yeshivas, where there is a certain amount of prestige, a student who does very well in a yeshiva, so then he gets a certain amount of prestige in the yeshiva. Nevertheless, and this is he's talking mamish about his time, Echnisa Makodesh Boru Tachas Yad HaBolshevikim Asher Yamdu Neged Kol Das. At that time, the Bolsheviks, that's from most of the world Jewry was in Eastern Europe, so they fell under the hand of the Bolsheviks, who forbade Torah. It was a capital crime. Throw you in jail, they can execute you. You learn Torah, and they execute you. So therefore, what sort of motivation is there to learn Torah? What sort of selfish motivation? That's what we're talking about, a selfish motivation. Is there to learn Torah? You're just endangering your life. They'll take you out, they'll whip you, they'll kill you, they'll shoot you. So, I mean, So not only is there no prestige, it becomes dangerous. Not only have they taken away ulterior motives, ulterior trappings, exterior trappings to motivate us to come closer to Hashem. Moreover, that you require tremendous sacrifice to those who want to live a Torah lifestyle. Right? Not only, right, there's discrimination. There's discrimination and there's mistreatment of frum Jews. And therefore, if one wants to keep frum, he wants to keep kosher, etc., there's tremendous sacrifice. Right? There were shortages of food, so imagine the shortage of kosher food. Right? There's the shortage of just food in general. So therefore, someone who still wants to keep kosher, he still wants to keep all the laws. I mean, it becomes impossible. Right? The concentration camps for sure, because it's very extremely difficult. As maze asa Hashem im chofetz hu lachriv is terosa v'avoidosa. So what is this that Hashem has done? Does he wish to destroy the Torah and the service of Hashem? So this is our question. If we say that really we need to work with selfish motivation, this is the key to our own personal service, what is it that he's done? Dessler speaks about his times. It's true for our times to a degree also. What is it that Hashem has done to us to take away ulterior motives from the service of Hashem and to make it so extremely difficult? Okay, so with this question, we're launching our essay. We're starting our essay to explain the whole issue. And he makes 8 major points. And we're going to start with the first one now. So, Amnam Namik in Be'ezer Pratim Lavinam. We're going to look into a number of details to try and understand the range of this whole discussion. It's something very deep, and it's something that has to be understood. And the first idea is as follows. Begeder shelo lishmo, omez keinenu hagon achasid gon rav Simcha Zissel. In terms of acting for selfish reasons, so our... If I'm using the word selfish for lo lishmo, not for the sake of Hashem, just selfish is an easier word to use, you'll understand what I mean. But not for the sake of Hashem, i.e. for selfish reasons. In terms of serving Hashem, lo lishmo, for selfish reasons, so my grandfather, the great genius, Simcha Zissel of Kelm, that's the Alt of Kelm, one of the pillars of the Musa movement, explain shakavona shemitchilas iska b'tzeir shelo lishmo tiyeh machshavos elagia lidei lishmo, that the intention of being busying ourselves with Torah for selfish reasons, we should have in mind that eventually we want to get to selfless service. So this is our first detail. It's true we should be doing for selfish reasons, but we should also have an intention eventually, we know in our thoughts that we eventually want to become selfless, those who serve Hashem selflessly. We're starting off selfishly, but we want to get to selfless service. He learns this out from the actual wording of their teaching. It says there, from. And it's, again, the original teaching was a person should always involve himself in Torah mitzvahs, even for selfish reasons, because from these selfish reasons he will come to selfless reasons. No, so the indication is he really wants to do selfless service of Hashem. So do it this way, because that's the way you'll get to what you really want. So he's pointing out that's what has to be our main desires, that we want to get to selfless, altruistic service of Hashem. We have that in the back of our mind. Right now we're approaching in the selfish way, but the selfless way is our ultimate goal. We have it in mind that that's what we want to reach eventually. That's the implication, is that we're doing selfish type service so that we will reach selfless service. And the explanation is, and the reason is because not all selfish service eventually becomes selfless service. If someone is purely selfish, so then he'll remain selfish, right? He'll become more and more for himself, more for himself, more for himself. Everything comes for himself. So therefore, not every type of selfish service, even though it's a service of Hashem, will lead to selfless service. We have to have an ambition to be holy people, righteous people. That has to be our basic ambition, our basic drive. And then the selfish motivation can help us to fight off our Yetzirah. You see, the Yetzirah says, come with me, let's have fun, let's have good times, let's enjoy ourselves. So we say, no, we have fun here. By us, here's the fun, here's the good times, here's the right. That's the way we fight. And we also indulging ourselves by doing mitzvahs. That's how we fight with a selfish motivation. That's how we're fighting the Yetzirah. Oifen kaze yavo elishmo. Zachruni. And here comes a very beautiful description from his own life. Zachruni miyumai yaldusi kashayisi gaventesh. He says, I remember from my childhood, when I was a child of around about 9, Ashayis nagu abba mori v'doidi yergedalia tzadikim zichom levrocha. Right, it was the custom of my father, my teacher, and my uncle, Rav Gedalia, the two brothers, his father and his father's brother, of blessed memory, Shayu kamim b'leil shabosos kechatzis laila. I remember they used to get up on Friday nights at around midnight. You know, they would have a Suda Shabbos earlier, and then they would go and have a rest, they'd sleep, and they would get up, the two of them would get up at midnight, and then they would learn Torah through from midnight till the davening, which was around about 9 hours. V'gamani kamti, and I also got up. Right, you got this 9 year old. I also got up. Le'ezer shoyz, v'lamad Rebbe imodi, and I also got up for a number of hours. And afterwards they put me to bed, but I also got up for a while, and I had a teacher to teach me. Vigam ima tzedekas alei shalom kama, and also my righteous mother of blessed memory also got up. Ulamda midrash Ramban Malbim Parshas Hashavua, and she also got up, and she was also learning from the midrash, the Ramban Malbim Parshas Hashavua. She also had her books. Ukashe komaya etzli ki yom tov, and when she got up, then it was like yom tov. It became like a yom tov. Because she honored us all with hot coffee and with cookies, home baked cookies from the oven. We're very, very delicious, very tasty. The main reason I got up was to learn, of course, that's what he got up for. However, the cookies helped me, they encouraged me to get up with, that was the encouragement that I should jump out of bed with more enthusiasm. So this is the example, right? The main intention, obviously to learn Torah, to be Torah scholars, but this was the motivation, this is what helped the motivation. The kachayaz kanenu zatzal mafar, and this is the way my grandfather explained the Mishnah. B'chol levovcho v'shnei yitzrecho. We say in the Shema, right? After Hashem Elokecha, you should serve Hashem b'chol levovcho, with all your heart. The word hearts, it's a double base. Levovcho, the two hearts, with both your hearts. What does it mean with both your hearts? B'shnei yitzrecho, with both inclinations, right? Your heart is what your interests are. Where does your heart lie? So, with both your hearts, the heart that's in the base of Knesset, in the shul, and the other heart that's in the kitchen, right, in the fridge. Yetzer tov v'yetzer, the highness yishtamis b'rtzoynus hayetzer, which is to say, you should use the motivations, the desires of the yetzer, l'staya el atov, to assist him to do the service of Hashem. So, this is our first principle here, towards explaining the concept of reaching selfless service of Hashem.